Would you bow with me as we pray once again tonight? Father, we thank you once again for this time we've come together this evening just to study your word, to, Father, reflect upon things that are so prevalent to us tonight, things that your word has recorded many years ago for us. And Father, it just brings it all together for us as we see the various things unfolding in the world and the culture all around us. I pray that you would help us to be ever aware, Father, to be ever on guard, to be ever watchful of the world and how it's ever changing before our eyes, and all of the challenges that churches are facing and Christians are facing. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to be faithful, faithfully serving you, faithfully devoted and committed to your service. Father, thank you for the words of life. Thank you for the way it just brings peace and calm in the midst of the troubling waters of this life. Bless us this evening, Tabernacle, in our midst. Be with our youth and those that work with them. Be with the children and those that are helping in that area. Be with the nursery workers and those that help with these babies in preschool. And Father, I just pray that you would bless us in the days to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Tonight I want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I pretty much have concluded all I'm going to do in the book of Revelation, but I want to talk about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 17. I want to read that, and then we are going to look at some things here tonight pertaining to the great apostasy. It says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. This is speaking about the apostasy, the falling away from the faith. And the man of sin is speaking here about the Antichrist. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Notice that phrase, the son of perdition. You will remember Judas Iscariot also was termed the person there of perdition as well, who opposes, this is what the Antichrist does, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. That'll be during the days of the tribulation, showing himself that he is God. Remember, the last half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, is when he sets himself up, his image to be worshiped as God himself in the tabernacle that will be rebuilt during the early part of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's what is known as the abomination of desolation. Verse 5 says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, notice Paul is speaking here to the Thessalonians, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, that's the Holy Spirit, will do so until he is taken out of the way. So as long as Christians are presently in this world during this church age, those that have been born again, the Holy Spirit that lives within our hearts, it's the Holy Spirit that is restraining the Antichrist to someday come to power. It's the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of Christians that is restraining from that already happening and taking place. He says in verse 8, "And then the lawless one," the Antichrist is who it's speaking about, "one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now that's speaking about when he comes back in the second coming with the church, the angels, to stop what's taking place over there in the Holy Land with this last 3.5 years, the tribulation, when all of the nations have gathered to fight against the nation of Israel. Heaven is open. Christ descends on a white horse. Every eye will turn and see that event. And notice that Christ will, with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one, this one world dictator, this one world person that will head up a one world government, is what it's speaking about here. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power. Notice this one, with all power, signs, and notice the phrase, and lying wonders. And lying wonders. Let me tell you, Satan will enable this one world lawless Antichrist, world dictator. Satan will enable this person, empower this person, and he'll do signs and lying wonders. And folks, what amazes me is how few people want to seem to think for themselves. Do you just accept something that's out there in the world without laying it next to the scripture, to look at it through the lens of scripture to determine, is it true? I mean, when the Antichrist comes to power, the coming of the lawless one, notice, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And the thing that amazes me is how few people will even be aware, will even question, but will fall for the lies, that will fall for the signs that they will see. They will absolutely, in the last part of that 3.5 years, they will line up to take the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist. It amazes me, in the world that you and I live in, that I want the Holy Spirit that lives within my heart to nudge me to what is truth and to alarm me when something is not truth and something that does not line up with biblical teaching. And you and I are living in a world tonight that is forever changing. I read some statistics today by Pew Research, I believe it was, one of those polls, and it's staggering that how things are changing. I read where 44% of Christians, 44% of Christians, take 2.2 billion, and if you're a mathematician, take 44% of it, and you'll see how many people that say they're Christians truly believe that Jesus was sinless. I don't know about you, but that staggers my mind. I would think that if you're born again, that there would be no question whatsoever, because if Jesus was not sinless, he could not take away our sins, and we would still be living in sin with no hope whatsoever. 44% of Christians that were polled 44% of them believe that Jesus was sinless. What about the other 56% that say they're Christians? If they believe that Jesus was sinless, then they are forever in a deep well of trouble. It amazes me. I don't want anybody to do my thinking for me. I want to read. I want to study. The Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to teach us truth, to lead us into all truth. And so many people never question anything. They just fall down and do it. It amazes me. Paul's writing to this church. They had some questions about all this. And Paul is trying once again to iterate and reiterate for them what this is all about. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, I know that in our studies of Revelation, and the question has always been asked by Bible prophecy teachers, once the church is raptured and people are left behind, those that have heard the gospel repeatedly over and over, those that have heard the gospel, those that had an opportunity to receive Christ before the rapture, will they, after the rapture, left behind, will they have another opportunity to receive Jesus? Now, there's differences of opinions on what some Bible scholars and interpreters have said about this. But I just have to believe, based upon what Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, that they are going to, and we'll see it in a minute, they're going to be sent a strong delusion, as I understand the scripture, and they will be blinded. So notice, if you will, verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, you can choose to believe whatever you choose to believe, but I just have to believe based on that. It looks to me as if you had an opportunity and you spurned the opportunity and you spurned the Holy Spirit. It appears to me, based upon what Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians, that you would have, I'll use the term, send away your day of grace. That's the way it looks to me. Now, I know that there have been Bible prophecy preachers, Jack Van Impe was one of those, who changed his opinion about that. He always preached that if you failed to receive Christ when you had the opportunity and you get left behind, He always believed that you wouldn't have another opportunity, but he changed his opinion on that, and he based it upon various things and some scriptures. But I just sort of happen to be in the camp of those that feel like that Paul very expressly pointed that out. If you had an opportunity and you spurned that opportunity in verse 11, 10 and 11, let me read it again. Well, let's back up to 9. The coming of the lawless one, this is the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, that's the way I take it. That's the way I understand that. But notice it says in verse 11, tells us why. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were someone in this life and I've heard the gospel, heard about the gospel, the good news, and there's no reason why in the world today, with all of the telecommunication, with all the satellite systems, where this goes all over the world, missionaries out there in the world sharing the gospel, and for those that may not have ever had that opportunity, during the days of the tribulation, we saw where there will be preaching from the sky, God's angel had spoke about, would be proclaiming the message there in the heavens, as well as the messengers that God will be using, that 144,000 that are still all intact when you get to the end of the tribulation, sharing the gospel. Those first two witnesses before they were killed and raptured up to heaven will be sharing the gospel. It looks to me like that anyone would turn in faith to believe, but unfortunately, because people's hearts are hardened, their hearts are calloused, and this very plainly speaks about, especially during this time of the tribulation, these people's hearts are going to believe a lie. A strong delusion will be sent to them. Verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, I want to talk about that for a few moments, because God from the beginning chose you by salvation. Let me tell you, I believe that salvation is for anyone. Jesus said he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe if you want to be saved, you can get saved. The Holy Spirit has to call you, and you're chosen, of course. But I want you to know, in that choosing, it's the hearts that are fertile for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in their hearts and in their lives. Verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, I want to share some things about this falling away, this apostasy. According to the Bible, according to the scriptures, there will be a great apostasy in the last days as we get closer and closer to this time of the tribulation period. This New Testament word apostasy means departure. And in the context of spiritual apostasy, it refers to a departure from sound biblical truth. The phrase last days in the New Testament refers to the present church age. You and I have been living in last days for the past 2,000 years. Those are the past 2,000 years we've been living in the last days, the church age. Now, I want you to notice some verses that I want to share. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Now, has in these last days, the church age since Pentecost, has in these last days spoken to us, how? By his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. The one translation says perilous times. I believe we're living in some perilous times. I believe these are a foreshadowing of what is coming to this world one of these days. Then I want you to notice in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. Now, I don't know, I'm reading from the New King James. Is that the New King James on yours? Because mine says it a little bit differently there. I don't know if that's an updated New King James, but according to my New King James, knowing this first, this says, know this first of all, same thing, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. Now, describing this falling away from sound teaching, I want you to notice what Paul said to Timothy over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 3 and 4. Have you got 4 and 1? 1 Timothy 4 and 1. 1 Timothy 4 and 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, notice what Paul said to Timothy. Paul is warning Timothy, his young preacher that he's mentoring. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. What are they going to be doing? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines. That word doctrines is speaking about teachings of demons. Well, I'll guarantee you, you can see a lot of that in the world that's going on right now. They had on television several times in the last few weeks documentaries on cults that people have joined up with, fell into. Then he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Notice verse 2, "speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Verse 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now, you and I are seeing much of this happen in the world that we live in. If you will remember one of those videos that I showed, Klaus Schwab, he's a professor in Germany. He's one of the main ones that heads up the World Economic Forum that meets in Davos, Switzerland, at least once a year. And these are big wig people, and they discuss the world and finances and economics and all sorts of things about this one world government that's coming up. Well, Klaus Schwab and his Luciferian cronies are in a hurry to usher in the new world order. And they have a lot of weapons at their disposal in their arsenal, such as the central bank digital currency known as the CBDC, the central bank of digital currencies. Another thing they have in their arsenal is biometric surveillance. Did you ever know all these new driver's licenses we're getting and all this new national ID and all of these kinds of things? Let me tell you, they already know more about you tonight than you know about yourself. Did y'all know that? They do. You know that cell phone you've got there? Hey, they listen into your conversations. So every now and then when I get a little mad going down the road in my car, I tell them what I want them to hear. So since I know they're listening, and I'll say, "Well, I know you're listening, so I want to tell you what I think." And so I want them to know what I think and how I feel about some of this. And then what about artificial intelligence? There have been a lot about that this past week. Tons out there on artificial intelligence. Also, to advance this transhumanism, the depopulation scheme, and Klaus Schwab, he's an unapologetic transhumanist who wants to redefine what it means to be human, merging technology with biology. And these technocrats seek to control everyone on the face of the earth. This will set the stage for the Antichrist to come on the scene and dominate the world. Now, this is what's interesting. In many of the books that I've read, it talks about all of this stuff. It's not just one writer by any stretch of the imagination. It's all out there in print if you want to read it, if you're interested in it. But their goal is sometime between now and 2030. I want you to think about that. That's their goal. They make no bones about it. Get on their website, read all about it. They don't make any bones about this stuff. It's out there for you. The interesting thing about it is, now, let me say this. This does not mean that it will happen because God is orchestrating. God is moving the pawns on the chessboard of life for his redemptive purposes. And even though they've got their program and they've got their dates set out there of how they would love to get all of this in place by the year 2030, but let me tell you, God may have another design and he may halt it for a while. But what I want you to understand is the 2020s that you and I are living in have been on the radar of these world oligarchs for almost 100 years. They've been planning this a long time. The New World Order, the Global Reset, all of these phrases they're using, all of these things, that's been on the radar for at least 100 years or more. And they would love to have everything in place by the year 2030, which, if my arithmetic is correct, that's 7 years from now. But God may intervene, just like you and I are living between the 69th week of what God gave to Daniel and the last week, the 70th week. We are living between those two periods of time. It's called the church age. It's been around for the last 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost. We're living in the church age. It's also referred to as the age of grace, meaning God's grace, as the girls sang so beautifully about a few moments ago. Grace, grace, God's grace. And when the last person gets saved in the age of grace, the church is out of here. That doesn't mean this building's going up. The church are the saved in the world. And folks, I want you to know, they've always had this 2030 date out there in their mind. Only God knows when all of this is going to take place. But notice in Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. Now, Jesus is speaking here. He answered and said to them, remember all the Pharisees, the hypocrites, all that group. He answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. He looked at that bunch of hypocrites. And I love it. He called them out just like they were. And let me tell you, Jesus didn't make any bones about it. When he said, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Look in Ezekiel 33, verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, that's the ram's horn, the shofar, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood, notice what God says, I will require at the watchman's hand. Back in those ancient biblical days, those various nations they would have a big tower and they would have a watchman up on the wall looking out over the landscape, searching if there was an enemy coming. And the watchman, if the watchman saw the enemies approaching, the watchman would blow the trumpet to alert the people to be ready, to be on guard. Now, I want you to see what God said through Ezekiel about this. If the watchman, and I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I feel that I'm one of the watchmen to warn the people. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Folks, that's why I believe that whenever you teach the Bible and you preach the Bible, you do it from Genesis to Revelation. And where, as Proverbs says, where the tree falls, there it shall lay. You see, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just a watchman. I'm just the paper boy. I'm just trying to throw the news. I'm trying to send the warning. And I believe that from Genesis to Revelation needs to be taught to people. And you don't just teach all of the stuff that makes you feel good. And there's plenty of guys out there doing that. And they've got humongous mega churches. And they've got untold limited monies. But folks, let me tell you, I would not be doing a service to my congregation if I wasn't preaching the truth of the words of this book. And we have seen in the book of Revelation that God wanted that book taught, or he wouldn't said, "Blessed is he that hears and understands and heeds the warnings that are in this book." And folks, let me tell you, when Ezekiel shares that, let me tell you, someday when I stand before the great I am, I don't want to have the blood on my hands because I did not share the truth of the word of Almighty God. And let me tell you, when you go from Genesis to Revelation, you get on everybody's sin somewhere along the way. And folks, let me tell you, the bottom line is it's a broken world and we're all marred by the sin that we inherited from the Garden of Eden. But I want you to know there are lots of people out there that are oblivious to the warnings in the book of Revelation, to the warnings that Daniel gives from chapter 9 to the end of his book, that Ezekiel gave, that Isaiah gave, that Jeremiah gave, that Joel gave, that Amos, all of these prophets out there sharing. It's hugely important. And then let me look at Psalm chapter 2, 1 through 6. This is in the Old Testament hundreds of years ago. What's it speaking about here? It's speaking about what's going on and is going to go on in the world during the tribulation. Why do the heathen rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, this is what the nations, the kings will say, notice, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Notice the next verse. I love this. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Let me tell you, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. Let me tell you, this old world is going to see the Savior face to face. The Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. And let me tell you what, this world is rocking and reeling. I want to close with this. Christianity Today magazine is furthering this apostasy in many ways. This publication that many Christians still esteem highly went down the pluralist road decades ago. This writer says, I no longer recommend it unless you're reading it for research to keep up with how the Luciferians, and that's the ones that want to bring in this one world government, this one world order, this one world religion. He said, I no longer recommend it unless you're reading it for research to keep up with how the Luciferians are gaining footholds with evangelicism. In a January the 14th, 2013 Christianity Today article entitled Worshiping Jesus in the Mosque, Gene Daniels asked, can people from other religious traditions genuinely follow Jesus without becoming Christians? Those who allegedly follow Jesus but never formally express faith in Christ are called insiders. An entire movement has emerged around Muslim believers called the Insider Movement. Those who are part of the Insider Movement say they do not have to change religions to worship Jesus. Yet those familiar with the movement says Muslims who claim to be insiders, that is Christians, are not following the Jesus of the Bible. This is just another way biblical Christianity is being marginalized and apostasy is increasing. I'm not suggesting that every insider who claims to be a Christian is not really a born-again believer. I suppose it's possible that some might have placed their faith in the Jesus of the Bible as the only one who can save them. But what I do know with certainty is that our Lord will not be worshiped in a mosque. If Jesus had trouble with the money changers in his day, imagine what he would say to Muslim clerics today. Let me tell you, when Paul told the people, if somebody comes to you preaching another Jesus other than the one we've preached, Paul was saying basically this, you better beware. You better know the difference. You better sound the alarm to people out there in the world. A lot of people love to say this about Jesus and that about Jesus, but folks, if it doesn't square up with this book, it's another Jesus, and it's a Jesus I don't know. And a lot of people are being deceived by the lies of Satan that wants to destroy. And let me tell you, he's doing a faithful job, he and his demons, tonight all over the world. Let me tell you, you and I are living in probably one of the most interesting and challenging times ever before. I don't know if you're keeping up with world news, but let me tell you, there's unrest going on with the nations of the world, distress of nations. I saw where we've sent a bunch of submarines now out there where you've got China and you've got Russia and you've got Iran. Now you've got you know, those nations that are gathered, and what's going to happen with Ukraine, what's going to happen with Russia, and what's going to happen now with Taiwan, and is China going to do that, go for that? And folks, let me tell you, it's a very volatile world that you and I are living in. I don't know about you, but I want you to know I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives within the hearts and lives of every born again child of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that leads me into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction into our hearts and lives when we're right and when we're wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that is moving throughout the world tonight, trying to bring people to a place of conviction and repentance and conversion. But let me tell you, many of them, as we saw up there a few moments ago, many of them's conscience is seared as if some hot iron had done it. They're cold. They're calloused. They don't believe. They reject. And I want you to know the world is tottering and teetering tonight, and only God knows what the future holds. But I know this, I know he holds the future. Amen. Would you stand as we pray together? God bless you for being here tonight. Let me encourage you, Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, the Mullins Baptist Association, we're hosting that here in our church Sunday evening. Services Sunday evening, this Sunday only, begins at 6 o'clock in the evening, not 5 o'clock. And Dr. Blake Gideon, senior pastor at First Baptist Church of Edmond, will be here as the speaker for the evening, and I want to encourage you to be here. He's speaking and preaching on evangelism, and it'll be a great night, and I hope you will be here to hear Dr. Blake Gideon this coming Sunday evening at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, as we go this evening, take each one safely to their home. Be with them, encourage them, help them. Father, help us that every time we meet, that we would be ever faithful and sincere in truth of trying to do our best to interpret your word, Father, so that we would be found faithful. God, I pray tonight for Winnie. I pray for Barb's mom, that you would just bless her, help her during these days of her life and with the challenges she's facing and perhaps changes that she may have to make. I just pray for your incredible peace just to fill her heart. Be with Barb, her brother, as they make decisions and to help her during this time. And God, I just pray that you would be with her in a special way. Take each one safely to their cars and to their homes and return us back on Sunday, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.